Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Of Concussion Chats. My name is Taya. Concussion Chats is a podcast hosted by the McGill Students for the Concussion Legacy Foundation with the help of Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast. We're dedicated to providing strength and hope to those suffering from concussions through sharing experiences. Today we have a recording of our guest speaker, Allison. Allison is a post-concussion syndrome survivor that mentors women with PCS through CLF. Through her Instagram, concussion_recovery_art, she sends free art to people suffering from PCS.
Thank you, Taya. Good morning, everybody. I'm delighted to be here, a little bit nervous because it's the first time in 4.5 years I've spoken to a group. First time in 4.5 years I've wanted to meet new people. First time in 4.5 years I've felt this good. So I want to say thank you to Emily. Emily, you have put up with old lady me. I've been on Instagram for about a half an hour, 2 months. And there's so much I don't know. It also reflects what I didn't know about my concussion when I had it. There's so much information out there that I didn't even know groups existed. I didn't know there's so much information I've gotten from Instagram that is good information compared to what you will hear here. So Emily, thank you for reaching out. You've opened up something in my heart and in my mind and in my excitement. And for that, I'm really, really grateful. So thanks. I come with props just to make it fun. It'll make it weird for the people on the podcast, but this will be more fun for us. So sorry, folks on the podcast. My plan was to have a really pulled together presentation for you. And then symptom flood. Tuesday. I was hanging new paintings at the art show in my little town here. I'm doing concussion awareness art at a town show. I have all these little paintings, which turn out are really hard to measure and put in correctly. So lots of concentration, lots of focus. By 10:45 Tuesday morning, I was in bed with a symptom flood. And I have my, what we call my family, my eye bra on, my sleeping mask on, my eye bra. And I just, because I knew I was doing this, I thought I would take real-time notes for you. Thought it'd be interesting. I'm in complete stillness. I'm jumpy. I have noise sensitivity, light sensitivity. I'm nauseous. My tinnitus, I never know how to pronounce it, is going crazy. I felt a migraine building all morning. My nervous system is alit. My kids are 2 doors away with 2 doors closed, and I could hear their online school. It was going right into my brain. And downstairs, my husband was opening a little bag of Cadbury Easter eggs, you know, the covered ones, and just that cellophane was killing my ears. So a massive symptom flood. But the difference between this one is, and all the others I had, is this time I know why it happened. I know how to fix it, and I know I'll be okay. That's the big difference, because my PCS story is one of don'ts. I'm just a big fat walking don't. Don't do your concussion the way I did mine. Because it begins, as all PCS stories do, with an accident. And I was skiing with a helmet on at my home mountain with my kids. And somehow the skis slipped out of me, on me on a beginner slope, watching my kids learn how to ski. And I had a helmet and hit the back of my head. And, you know, of course, didn't go to the emergency room because I'm a mom and I wanted to, we had to stay on the schedule and get the kids home to sleep on a Sunday night. And as the days went by, the symptoms increased. And so by Thursday, I finally went to the doctor. And it's normal, I guess, for women. My basic understanding of how women's concussions are different, and I'm learning as I go, is that it's normal for our symptoms to come on more slowly, that we have more severe concussions, we have a greater number of symptoms, it takes us longer to recover. And the reasons are, because my understanding is our necks are not as strong, so our brains hit harder, and there, our nerve cells are longer and leaner, which makes more breakage and more damage. And depending on where you are in your menstrual cycle, it depends on how bad your concussion is going to be. So go to the doctor, and she says, let rest, just rest, it'll resolve on its own. And so I go home here to my to a construction site, and we are redoing the kitchen. Yay. And there are three guys with nail guns, and every nail gun is just piercing into my brain. But there's no walls. There's no doors. I'm living in a construction site. And as the weeks went by, the construction people would need decisions. They would call me in the middle of the day and say, well, what do you want to do about this or this? And I would walk in. They have a bright light, and I would shield my eyes, and they would ask me this incredibly complicated question two or three times, and I would just say, I gotta run this by my husband, which in normal times wouldn't be true, but I just couldn't make sense of what they were saying. And so these guys were kind of laughing at me and like, this is ridiculous, never heard of this before. So at that point I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I had bees in my brain that I didn't understand. And I spent February, March, April, May, June. This is the Star Wars blanket. I was underneath the Star Wars blanket for months in my TV room, listening to CNN, doing the Calm app, which I now despise and will never do again. And it was just misery. I kept emailing the doctor, nothing we can do, nothing we can do. Neurologist won't do anything for you. You'll heal in time. And for me, it was miserable. Obviously, the social isolation was brutal. Right next door, my neighbor's good friends here have a bunch of kids, and I remember looking out there on a Saturday night, and they were having a family party. And under normal circumstances, we would have been there, four or five families together. But with dogs and noise and people and laughter, there was no way. So I was missing out. My kids were missing out. It was just sad and lonely. But then there's another aspect of the social isolation, which for me was rage. For years, I've been working out a few doors down here. A friend has a studio, and I've been, you know, twice a week, three times a week for 4 or 5 years. I go down with these ladies and we do our high intensity training. And at 10:15 on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, the caravan of minivans would go by my house to leave. And week after week, month after month, no one knocked on my door. No one said, seemed to miss me. No one seemed to notice. And I'm getting a little weepy now. It hurt so much. And it turned to rage. And eventually I would sort of start looking for those cars on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10:15, and they just keep on going by. So I was first hurt, and then I got furious, and then I would feed the hurt every week. And it was so bad for my mental health. And the third thing that happened while in the Star Wars blanket was the kitchen was done. And I'm lying there on a Tuesday morning, and my husband is, I'm lying on a couch in the big new room, and my husband is doing a nice thing, putting the silverware away. And the spoon on spoon on spoon just went straight into my ears. And I just yelled, you've got to stop, you've got to stop. And he looked at me angry. And then I was just like this with all the hat and sunglasses in June. In the morning, just so quaky and miserable that he didn't, his anger at me for being critical of him doing the dishes turned into just sadness, going, God, And he got quiet and kissed my head and went off. And I padded over to the TV room, which was dark, and closed the curtains and just put my head in the covers and just sobbed and wailed like I never had before. It was frightening. I was frightened. Reading the comment. I was terrified. I was terrified at my mental state. I have children. I wouldn't suicide, but I understood the power of that. Going 5 more minutes, 5 more months, 5 more weeks, 5 more years of a life this limited, this much in pain, I just couldn't do it. And that scared me. So I called the doctor again. And this time she offered PT, which made no sense to me. PT for my brain? What? So I'll do whatever. And she sent me to the name brand best place that people come. I live near Boston. Best place everybody comes. I went to the local branch of the name brand rehab place. And for 2 or 3 months, I was treated and some exercises. And over the course, I started feeling stronger and happier. And I still couldn't read, but I could take care of my family. I could exercise. And I was sort of good enough compared to where I've been. And I slowly improved over the fall and the winter. And there were still weird things happening. Like, I hated meeting new people. Oh my God. I was on the beach. We live in a beach town. And someone really nice, very calm, quiet person was excited. She'd heard about me in town. And we were both therapists. And I was terrified to meet her because I knew I'm off. I knew my brain's sludgy. I knew it wasn't right. So I avoided meeting new people for a long, long time. And by the new year, I started to read a little bit. My son really wanted me. He was 12 at the time, really wanted me to read The Book Thief. It took me 6 tries to read The Book Thief, which is a young adult book. And I was living more and I wanted to be a good mom. But so I was doing more and it was sort of good enough compared to where I'd been a year earlier. My daughter was in Shrek. And, you know, I started to do fun things. Like remember the donkey quote from Shrek with onions have layers, parfaits have layers. So I made for the cast party a big thing of parfaits and put some big red onions on it just to be silly. But I felt like myself was coming back. And I wanted to be a good mom for my son. So I went and played basketball. And we played a game called Knockout. Boom, right in the head. And so that's 14 months after this fall skiing. Went to a different PT. Did vestibular PT. I wasn't tracking. We fixed that over 6 weeks or so with a big X on the wall with all the PT exercises. I was really dedicated to it. And again, I was back to life. It was kind of good enough. I was actually reading. I was happier. But then there was this convergence of 2 events that happened in my life that changed the course of PCS. My husband and I are self-employed therapists, and tax preparation, there's a lot of receipts. So I was doing tax preparation. The receipts are all over the floor for a couple of days. And I was really focused on getting that done. And at the same time, my church asked me to be a part of the committee that chooses a new minister. And the resumes for this thing were 17 plus pages long of essays and stuff. So I spent 2 days doing what normal adults do, which you got a lot of work to do, you plow through it. But this one landed me yet again in bed. And I just lost it. Light sensitivity, noise sensitivity, bees, headaches, weeping, despair, a mess. I was terrified because I had no hit, no accident, but it was just as bad as in the beginning, just doing normal adult life things. And I asked my family and friends to help. I couldn't Google this entire time. So the fact that you guys are on here is amazing to me, but I, for some reason, couldn't Google, couldn't scroll. Well, probably because of the eye tracking. But some suggestions I got were like, why don't you try some CBD? And going, oh my God, really? With how messed up I feel in the brain, that's your suggestion? And another friend sent a pile of Amazon to a bunch of books. And she sent me Ghost in My Brain. And for the first time in 18 months, I saw my experience. This guy describes lying down in his office in the middle of the day. He describes how hard it was to make the school lunches. He was having the same kind of meltdowns in his daily life as I was having. Now, only 10% of this book could I read because it's written by a neuro-something or other, and brain neuroplasticity and frontal lobes, like, who cares? I mean, I couldn't do it. But the 10% that finally I could see my experience there in black and white. And it was the first bit of hope that I had that I could actually come back. First bit. I emailed the doctor again. This is 18 months after the fall and 3 months after the basketball. And I demanded sort of to follow his path and demanded to see a neurologist. And the neurologist, I finally got in at Mass General. And Mass General neurologist said, your brain's fine. Every test I took, the brain was fine. I had no brain damage, which of course I worried about it, going, oh my God, do I have a tumor causing this? Is this early onset Alzheimer's? Because my mom got it at 85. Did this concussion trigger Alzheimer's? Just these scary, terrifying thoughts I've been carrying around for 18 months to have this neurologist finally say, you're okay. But the problems you're having, Allison, are because I had problems with attention and concentration for so long. My brain was so underused. It was under such chronic stress for 18 months. I was so scared for so long that I couldn't focus. And the taxes plus the 17-page resumes, that required focus. Hanging the art show Tuesday, that required focus. And my attention and concentration, they were weakened by 18 months of underuse and just complete and utter terror and pretty severe depression. So he sent me to cognitive rehab, which was a game changer for me. From June to October, I went to just 7 sessions. And in the beginning of the sessions, I would sort of say, here's what I did today. And I would plow through my normal day as a mother and a working person and who runs a house and who has to get the right kid's mouth to the right orthodontist at the right time. The woman who has to remember, do we have ketchup or do we need jalapenos? The person who just gets stuff done. And every time, every day left me in a puddle of tears, just getting stuff done. And it was such a state of despair. I just assumed life would never be okay, normal again. I'll never be able to function normally again. So it turns out my brain needed a lot more support. And in cognitive rehab, I learned how to pare everything down. Does this thing need to be done right now? Or does it need to be done at all? Is this conversation with this person or that activity worth getting tired over? If so, have it. If not, get out of it. Schedules and lists. I learned not to carry stuff in my brain, like, do we need ketchup? I have the most killer grocery list, which sounds lame, but until this, I'd never kept one in my entire life. So I talked it to my daughter, 14-year-old, and she typed it in and printed it out. And now I go to the grocery store and all these people are like, wow, that's a list. Going, well, yeah, I have brain injury. It rocks. The most significant part of my cognitive rehab were the brain breaks. I didn't know what they were called, didn't know what they are, but I start off my brain breaks doing, here's more visuals, you ready? Adult coloring books. I have this open on my dining room table with watercolors and just fill them in peacefully. And it was so calm, not really pretty, but it was calm and lovely. And I went through this whole book. And then I got bored with that, which is a sign of health. And I started moving on to other things. So I got watercolor paper and I started doing pretty watercolors like that. Simple, just simple lines of colors. And then I got bored with that. And you can see through the progression of this that I'm getting a little better. Then I started doing simple, kind of ugly, but good enough. I mean, considering what was going on, it's pretty good. So I spent a long time doing that as I got stronger and stronger. And I started to really live by that question, is this person or activity worth getting tired over? And it really clarifies everything. So I've learned that through not trial and error, through error only, that chatting with vague acquaintances, nope. Going to a party with people I don't care about, never again. Family wedding, totally worth it. So as I started to live like this through this question, I got stronger. I had fewer meltdowns And more significantly, I've been doing things that are meaningful to me and not doing things and not being in relationships with people that aren't. So here we get to COVID, and I am the only playmate for my 13-year-old son. And we go around and we go mountain biking, we go climbing in the White Mountains, and we do this and we do that. I'm old, ruptured some disc in my back. Yet another accident, going bad luck. And so I'm standing for most of the summer at my kitchen island, and I get better at watercolor. So I spend weeks doing sheets like this. I'm getting better technique-wise and enjoying myself more, and creativity is coming back. And that feels great. But then in August, I get this random letter from Arkansas. I don't know anybody in Arkansas. And inside it says a young woman in Snoqualmie, Washington has started this project during COVID to send out 50 letters to 50 people, to 50 households in each state. I got it. And it was just so touching and meaningful that I created a big sheet of art like that and created 50 letters and sent it out to random addresses and sort of low-income places, one in each state. And it just felt good to pass on the energy and to use my art. Really, really meaningful. And it was a reflection. I could take on a project of sending out 50 letters. Something's different. I'm different. I'm healthier. In the fall, I went to the Concussion Legacy online gala, and I signed up to be mentors for women my age to going through PCS. And that is another sign of health and healing. And then Santa, at Christmas time, I asked Santa to bring me acrylic paints, and the brightness of the colors really kind of jive with me more. And in January, I decided to go on Instagram and share my process of healing. Thought it would be interesting for people who are going through concussion to see coloring books, to simple watercolors, to where I am today as a visual record. I didn't want to be a, hey, look at me, I'm an artist, because I'm not a good enough artist for that. And then there was this wonderful day where someone with a TBI posted that she'd received a piece of art from someone, and that really brightened her day. And it was this light bulb moment. So at that point, I started taking these cards. I cut up my art and I put it on these pretty cards. And anyone who asks for them, I will send one to anywhere in the world. It just means a lot to me, and also pretty envelopes. I have all the art lying around. Not all of it's good, but it looks really good when you cut it up. I do this because PCS, I'm getting choked up, was the hardest and loneliest thing I've ever experienced. And I've had stage 3 breast cancer with toddlers. I had 18 rounds of chemo, a lot of infections. I had a really rough go with it. This was way harder. I had so many dark days during my PCS. I did not feel like myself. I had no interests. All I wanted to do was be alone and in bed, and I couldn't because I had a family to take care of. Every single day dragged painfully. Remembering that, I wanted to reach out to people when they're having those days with my little cards. And on most of these little cards, the note I write is something along the lines of wishing you strength, patience, and good medical care, because that's what I needed and that's what I didn't have. This experience with these little cards is giving my art meaning and purpose. I'm not just making pretty things, because there are so many other people who can make much prettier things than I can. And I'm doing a brave thing, which is I'm having this art show in town. Here's a good one I made last week. And I'm donating all the proceeds to Concussion Legacy and Pink Concussions. Two of my paintings, one of them is a expression of it shows little pictures from the adult coloring books all the way through what you've seen, the progression. And then one painting shows, it was really bright blues and bright pinks. I didn't like it, so I covered it over with dark colors. And then I go, boom, that's it. This is what PCOS feels like. Your personality is under there, but it's totally covered by all the symptoms. So that painting will never be sold. It's not for sale. I'm now excited. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I'm excited to get out of bed in the morning. I get up before my alarm after 4 years of dragging my ass around. My life is filled with creativity and meaningful relationships and connections. Because my life is really centered now around this question. Is this person or activity worth getting tired over? If no, don't do it. If yes, like hanging the art show, increasing concussion awareness, enjoying the process of making art, having that meltdown that I had on Tuesday, that is worth it to me. So if yes, I go for it. Because if you live by those, is this person, is this activity worth getting tired over? And you go for the things that are meaningful, you're living a meaningful life. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I can say that. And I'm grateful for all of you for listening. And thank you so much.
Today, I have Emily, who is also part of McGill Students for Concussion Legacy Foundation, Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast, and his co-host Aaron, who is also the coordinator for the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association, joining me. So what do you guys think about Allison's talk? Share.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Really, really did. I almost got choked up a couple times. When she was talking about how lonely it was and how it was, you know, harder or more difficult or more lonely than dealing with breast cancer with while having toddlers. Yeah. It was really, that's really, really sad, right? But in a way, kind of validating, because it's, you know, it's hard to explain to people how difficult it is to go through TBI, right? And, It was intense.
Yeah, and I think it's easier for a lot of people to understand cancer in a way and the pain that's surrounded with it because it's so prevalent and there is a lot more awareness surrounding it versus like TBIs and post-concussion symptoms. But yeah, like, so when you're going through cancer, it's kind of something everyone can point at and know, and therefore it feels less lonely because you seem to have a lot more support. But then concussion symptoms and years on, people kind of just don't forget. Count.
It's not the same. Cause I mean, with cancer, like it's like in everyone's face, it goes back to the whole, invisible illness injury thing. And I think the fact that like she could make that comparison too, just kind of like Emily said, like that just like really shows like how lonely and difficult that PCS can be.
I was just saying the same thing. Like just that I had cancer. I was like, oh yeah, I heard you had cancer. How, you know, blah blah blah. I was so bad, awful. Must be so blessed to work. I'm like, it's not that bad because people understand it. People are like, oh yeah. People want to talk to you about it. People know people who have cancer, who have had cancer. There are doctors who are for cancer for your area of the body, like directly for you and stuff. And there are more options. People understand it. Like I was saying, whereas, so also I'm not in a pill say like, oh, you know, cancer wasn't brutal. The cancer was nothing compared to brain injury because brain injury was a lot more lonelier. And so, Emily?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when she was talking about how the van would drive by and nobody ever stopped in, you know, I feel like with cancer, it's like, oh, she had radiation, so I need to check in with her X, Y, Z. And I feel like with brain injury, it gets to this point where I think people are just like, oh, well, maybe they don't want to come back or like they don't realize like the extent of the injury. And I look back on, you know, where I was in high school, and like I think I just kind of like put my head down and powered through. But looking back, it's like, oh man, like I was really kind of hurting for some connection and friendship. She kind of opened that up, something to think about.
Yeah, and she was definitely forced to, like, have to be social when she didn't want to because she had a kid, right? And, like, mm-hmm. you can't tell your three-year-old, like, okay, quiet time. Like, they're not going to understand it.
Yeah.
So she was really, like, forced into having to be social and hating it. So I can only imagine, like, the mental anguish there where, like, you're just like, I need this time, but I actually cannot have it. And it's hard to explain that and then feel justified it. Like, you would feel that guilt as a mother, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Some interesting feedback.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say there's some weird feedback here. Is there it from me, from my voice?
I think it's from me because I didn't hear it. So.
Okay. But I think her like the big thing that she was talking about was just kind of like asking herself, like, is this person or activity worth getting tired over? Like, that is like, that's perfect. Like, I thought about that a lot since Thursday, just like, and I kind of like started doing it like without thinking about it, like over the last year, just kind of like not putting the energy into like certain people, like if it wasn't worth it, you know? And like actually like asking myself like consciously, like, is this like worth it? Like, I like, yeah, I don't know. I like that. That's how she kind of like decides what she's going to do. And like,
yeah.
Like she was saying like how, you know, like the art show that she was doing, like, you know, like she knew that would like cause symptoms, but like it was something that she felt was worth it. She did it.
I think that's more important, mm-hmm. that building, like, takeaway just from, no injury at all. It's just a good idea for your neck, okay? Good idea for, like, life, for just, like, that, don't spend time doing things you don't want to do. Like,
yeah.
It's basically all it is, and they, you know, it just sometimes takes, like, a experience, like, the brain injury or multiple experience to really understand that what's important and why you spend your time on. People always say, like, mm-hmm. you have so much time on this earth and blah, 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 and like how, you know, live every day to its fullest and all that stuff. But like living every day your fullest is also living every day the way that you want to, that does the best for you. And if that means spending time doing things you want to do and doing things that are important to you and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
I think those are the points she made there.
Yeah.
She mentioned she was a therapist. Do you know what type?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a counselor of some sort. She said she likes to do...
She said something about it. It was a minister. She was doing something for a minister. So she, like, part of the church?
Yeah.
But was that is a part
that
of
her? That was also something that, like, we talked about, like, a couple of us, like, at the end of the meeting, once everyone had left, there was a couple of us left, and someone said, like, you know, like, I wanted to say this during the meeting, but, like, I didn't know how to say it, like, without it sounding, like, bad, but, like, just how, like, it was, like, nice and validating to have, like, someone who is a therapist say, like, they, like, really struggled with all this, and that, like, it was a really difficult, challenging time for them, because, like a therapist is someone that, you know, like you think like they have all the answers to everything, like they like they're whatever. And so that person was just saying how like it felt really validating for them to know that, like, you know, like it's not just like them being dramatic or something, because like even someone that like has all those skills and knows all those things and helps other people with that still struggled so much.
Yeah, I definitely thought that too. That's why I was interested in what kind of therapy she did, because you always put a therapist usually like on a pedestal in a way. You're like, oh, like you have all the coping mechanisms, you've studied this, but it's like obviously every person struggles, and no matter how informed you are about something, you can still have struggles along the way.
But exactly.
Her journey was very telling that she does counseling and all that, because her way to identify all those things that made her happy and follow through with them was so cool and interesting, just so helpful, I think, as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed, like, I really, really enjoyed her talking about the, you know, what's worth it. which is something that I've been doing without really verbalizing it. But I also really liked when she was talking about doing brain breaks and how that's kind of how she got into art.
Yeah,
I think I was always into music.
How did she end art? How did she end art? Was that before or after her?
It was after.
Okay.
Yeah, so she I think she talked about this on our Instagram takeover a little bit. She was taking these brain breaks, and she started out with just like coloring, and then she got some watercolors, and then she started making art, you know. And that's kind of how she rested her brain. Yeah, I never really liked coloring or drawing or painting. It's not really my thing. But I remember switching from like a trumpet because it was too loud and like took just too much pressure to my head to playing the bass guitar. And that's really like how I relaxed for a long time. And then just brought up that maybe I want to do that a bit more. making time for the brain breaks is such a difficult thing, I think. It can be, but they're so important. And I think it's really cool how she mails the paintings to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed like such an interesting initiative. Like, so basically someone had come up with that idea, and now people just mail a bunch of paintings? Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know, just like she was talking about how, like, remembering how, like, she felt and like how hard it was and how lonely and just like and so like now she like sends out like a nice little note and a nice little piece of art, and it's cool because it's also like making the art is like part of like her own like resting and like just like brain breaks and like therapeutic for her, and then she's also sending something to someone else that could really use it, and yeah, I think that's super cool. That was awesome.
Yeah, it gives some meaning and purpose. I liked how she said symptom flooding too. I've always said overstimulated. And I'd always shut down. And the way she was talking about how she just like told her husband that he had to stop. I just like so many times it was like I couldn't even like manage to get out what was bothering me, but I just would, you know, it's almost like throwing a fit like a kid. And that's what happened with the overstimulation. And I appreciate her talking about that because I really related to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was the same. I just used to, like, snap on everyone for everything they did. And, like, so everyone just kind of – I was, like, mean and bossy and angry and stuff. But, like, I never really thought about it being, like, the overstimulated and, like, stuff like that. But, yeah, the symptom flooding, that was a good – way to phrase it. Someone afterwards talked about how like they usually say like overwhelmed, and like it's not even overwhelmed, like it's different, and so symptom flooding just kind of is a better way to describe what's going on and like refer to it. But yeah, I don't know, her talk was really good, and she
did it so eloquently with the journey through it, so it's like
I wish you guys could have seen her little props.
I was going to say, the props are the important part of it.
Yeah, she had, like, she, like, put on, like, sunglasses and, like, a hat. And then she had, like, this blanket that, like, she
Star
just
Wars
covered
blanket.
Her head in. Yeah, the Star Wars blanket. And, yeah, I think the props just added to it. It was great. And then she also just showed us like the progressions of like what she was doing, like how she started, like when she had like the adult coloring books like on like her table, she would like that she would color, and she like showed us a couple of those, and then she showed us like the like when she started doing like the watercolor, like it was just like lines, and then it slowly like turned into other things, and it kind of just progressed, and that was cool to see too. It's just kind of like the progression of like how she got to where she is now, like sending art to people. But yeah, if anyone wants a piece of art, reach out to her on Instagram. She's sending me a piece of art.
Excited. Do you get to pick what piece of art or what you want, or she says?
No, I think she picks it out and sends it your way, kind of thing.
Cool. What's her Instagram? What's her Instagram right now?
Her Instagram is at concussion_recovery_art. But yeah, I really liked her her talk, and it was great.
I'm looking up her art.
I was doing that too. Like halfway through the meeting, like I had to leave for work, and while I was walking to work, I was like looking at her art and stuff. And yeah. But anything else to add, anyone?
No, I just really, really am grateful she gave the talk. I just don't think there's much.
It was awesome.
Like it's all in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone definitely really enjoyed it too. Yeah. All right, cool. Oh, sorry, Erin.
No, she's just such a good artist.
Yeah, I know. Everyone go check out her Instagram.
Yeah, like just to add that.
All right. So, to Allison's again, to Allison for an awesome share. We'll have a new podcast posted Monday morning. Our upcoming podcast can be found on concussiontalk.com, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. You can find more information about our group on concussionmtl.com. Our peer-to-peer support group is free and open to everyone. We hold 4 weekly meetings on Zoom, which includes one in French, and they'll all be linked below. Thanks.
HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more.
The music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound. www.bensound.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.